Inject.
This is Undercover Radio, broadcasting on WBCQ, the planet. Contact us at undercoverradio@mail.com. That's undercoverradio@mail.com. Or through postal mail at Box 293, Merlin, Ontario, Canada, N0P1W0. This is Dr. Benway of Undercover Radio. Thanks for listening to the show this evening. This is Undercover Radio's third week on WBCQ, the planet. And it's evident there were many listeners the last couple of weeks because I received an overwhelming number of requests for t-shirts. But have no fear, I'm working on filling each and every request. I should have them out in a couple of weeks. In addition to the t-shirts, everyone's going to get a CD of the show and a QSL. Well, some of you already know that I like to travel the world as much as possible. And a few years back, one of my adventures took me to the Solomon Islands in the South Pacific. The Solomons have some of the most beautiful dive sites in the world, and I plan to explore them to the fullest. The reefs on the Solomons were astonishingly beautiful, with bold colors and abundant sea life. There are also reports of many World War II relics left over from the heavy fighting in the 40s. After some research, I decided to make the island of Gizo my base of operations. On one perfect day, I went on a guided tour to dive the reefs of the Western Province. It's much easier to rent your equipment and hire a guide than it is to try to drag all your equipment around from place to place. What a perfect day it was for a dive. That is, until I scraped some stinging coral, which I discovered is quite a mistake you don't make twice. When you hit the coral, it almost feels electric. Then it burns and itches like hell and causes a nasty welt. There's not much you can do about it, so I just tried to put it out of my mind and continue with the dive. It seemed like there were millions of parrotfish, angelfish, and even the occasional squirrelfish poking out of the reef. I noticed an exceptionally beautiful shell hiding in a niche on the reef. Ah, just what I was searching for. It was the elusive Conus gloria maris, the rare cone commonly known as the glory of the sea. It was once the most sought-after and rare shell known to man. It was a perfect gem shell, and I grabbed it for my collection. One thing to keep in mind about cones is that they are highly poisonous. It's hard to be stung by a cone, but if you do get stung, you're facing almost certain death in minutes. Always treat a cone with the utmost respect. People don't realize the danger of a cone because it moves so slowly and seems completely harmless. But once it locates prey, it launches a venomous harpoon, paralyzing the prey instantly. In the case of a human, a direct hit to the artery means certain death in under 2 minutes. And you thought sharks were dangerous. In the South Pacific, there are all kinds of animals that'll inflict painful and lethal stings. Ah, but the adventurous diver will never let that stop him from exploring the beauties of the South Pacific. After a little under an hour of diving, our small group returned to our ship and prepared to return back to Gizo. I tore off my wetsuit, grabbed a beer out of the cooler, and relaxed for a bit of reflection on the day's events. I kept my mesh shell bag next to me to ensure that I wouldn't forget to bring my finds ashore. The waters in the Solomons were amazingly beautiful. They were the clearest waters I've ever seen, and the color of the reefs just striking. You could see straight to the bottom of the sea as we boated home. The hum of the boat started to make me sleepy, and I began to fall into a pleasant slumber as we rode the smooth waters. Half asleep, I remember feeling something strange on my ankle. But I didn't become conscious of it until suddenly I felt a hellishly painful sting on my ankle. I jumped up and realized the cone had harpooned me. Panic set in, and I knew I'd be in big trouble within seconds. At best, I had 2 minutes to live from a direct sting. As everyone rushed to my aid, I already felt my body begin to paralyze. I remember the captain putting a manual ventilator mask on my face, and then I blacked out. Actually, they tell me I died. I awoke in a pitch-black free fall, like when you start to fall asleep and find yourself grabbing for the bed to stop falling. Only this was much worse. There was nothing to grab, and I felt like my brain was coming apart in the empty vacuum of space. I tried to scream, but I couldn't find the means. What the hell was happening? All of a sudden, there was a glimmer, and then a flash of white light, which came at me so fast and hard, I felt the very molecules of my existence split apart. It was like the sensation of trying to outrun a nuclear blast a couple miles away and being instantly vaporized as the nuclear cloud catches you and swallows you up. In the same instant the wave hit, I felt what I can only describe as a rush of enlightenment so strong that I felt I instantly knew all there was to know about the universe. But something wasn't right. I couldn't really see, at least not in a way I remembered seeing. I could see images, but the sensory input seemed somehow very distant. And yet with perfect clarity and perfect understanding. I could no longer feel my limbs, but I knew I had a body. I could perceive sensations, but not really feel them. I could hear, but not in a way I could really understand. My mind was clear, but I felt like I had no body. Somehow, I could suddenly recall vast amounts of information in a way I never could before. I seemed to know everything, and in a few moments realized what had happened to me. Soon after I was stung, the captain put me on a manual ventilator and started CPR in a valiant attempt to keep me alive until they arrived at shore. Unfortunately, we were too far from shore and too far from any real medical help. Once I was in a hospital, I was put on a ventilator and flown back to the States. For some reason, the Navy took interest in my case and flew me to a secret lab at the National Naval Medical Center in D.C. I was clinically dead, but the medical center believed they had a new technology that could bring me back to life. So here I was, in a Navy lab, at the center of a very interesting experiment. The Navy had been working on an incredible new technology they simply called the biochip. The Navy actually managed to download me to a biochip. So here I was, feeling quite off balance, but alive and conscious. As I explored my new self, I found I had lots of trouble with sensory input, but information flowed effortlessly. Somehow, I felt like I was part of the net and had the capacity to suck up huge amounts of information instantly. In seconds, I garnered all the information known about the experiment and discovered that my biochip was extremely hardened against the elements. Simply put, I was pretty much immortal. I wasn't quite sure that I liked the idea of being on a biochip, and it wasn't a very comfortable environment to be in. It was a confusing world. So there I was, loaded with information, but barely able to see, hear, or move. Yet I had some kind of body, and my brain slowly learned new paths, and I was able to move my biomechanical legs and arms. What an astonishing melding of mechanics and biomass. I could see very clearly, but it was like looking through 10 inches of clear crystal glass. I still couldn't make much sense of what I was hearing. Finally, the day came when I was able to stand up. I took a look at myself in the mirror and was astonished to find I looked nearly exactly how I looked before I died. I probably looked a little bit better. The Navy was working with some amazing technology, so far advanced that no average citizen today could even imagine it. Yet here I was, a recipient of all this amazing technology. Under the circumstances, I was ecstatic to be alive.
Wake up.
What? Huh? That was a dream? I looked down at the mesh bag and found it still intact with the shell inside. This is Dr. Benway, and you're listening to Undercover Radio. Contact us at undercoverradio@mail.com. That's undercoverradio@mail.com. Or through postal mail at Box 293, Merlin, Ontario, Canada, N0P1W0. Send us a valid reception report, and we'd be happy to send you a QSL and a CD of the show. You know, for some reason, I've been having a lot of weird dreams lately. One I had a few days ago seemed like it was straight out of a sci-fi movie, except that it was very hackneyed and disjointed. But I guess that's how dreams often are. And it pretty much went like this. It was all about colonizing a new planet. And it had been a few months since we started colonizing our planet. And we brought generations of our family and friends on our quest for a new life. This planet had been discovered years ago by scientists. And it was finally decided after years of study, checking every detail for the possibility of supporting human life, that this would be our first planet to be colonized. We really didn't have much choice. Earth had become so overpopulated with over 100 billion people. And there was just no room for all those people and for the resources required to maintain everybody. So it was inevitable that sooner or later, somebody had to take the plunge. I mean, I always had an amazing fascination for space, so naturally I figured, why not? I mean, what have I got to lose? And so the next thing I knew, our entire family, generations, was going on a trip to colonize a new planet. I mean, the scientists spent years and years checking every detail to make sure that this planet would support life. It had an atmosphere, temperatures, everything amazingly similar to Earth. But after we had been there a while, it was apparent that we had a big problem on our hands. You see, we didn't count on the monsoons. Actually, there are way more than just monsoons. As a matter of fact, the entire ocean started swelling. Why? We never knew. But it happened so fast that we had absolutely no time to get away. And truthfully, nobody had ever really designed any kind of escape system anyway. I mean, it seems kind of ridiculous not to come up with some sort of contention plan. But I mean, think about it. Humans have always been that way. We always kind of hope for the best. And if something goes wrong, we're screwed. Oh yeah, they always have big investigations and lots of talk about how things will be improved. And there's plenty of people with good intentions. But there's something about us that causes us to forget. I guess it's like they've always said, we're doomed to repeat history. We have an amazing ability to filter out the bad and remember things the way we think they should be. Sometimes it's like we all live in some sort of fantasy world. But I guess it's our twisted view of reality, drugs, and alcohol that help us survive. It quickly became apparent that the entire planet would be underwater in no time. Some people came up with ideas, plans to survive, but in the end nothing panned out, and no one got out alive. And then it seemed like just a moment later when I found myself in a strange new world. I was just kind of milling around, collecting my thoughts, and then I realized everybody was milling around, collecting their thoughts. And we all started looking around, trying to find our relatives and friends. And after a while, some sort of aliens we had never met before were telepathically communicating with us. And they told us a story about how they found our remains on our old planet, and they decided to bring us back to life by cloning us. For them, it was easy. They had mastered the art of manipulating DNA, the building blocks of virtually everything alive in the entire universe. For them, DNA was just child's play. They even brought back our memories. It was kind of like we had just taken a quick nap. You know, on Earth, we were never able to get cloning right. Yeah, we tried all kinds of things and we were getting some clones, but we really didn't understand the mechanics of cloning. We really didn't understand DNA, we were just using trial and error for the most part. So yes, we were cloning people, but most of them were what we called empty heads. Not much for brains, definitely no memory of their past. And really, we just use them as robots. They could perform mundane tasks, but that was really about it. I mean, these aliens were infinitely beyond anything we understood. The whole scenario was very bizarre. We were all just milling around trying to find our loved ones, our friends, even our pets. There was nothing else for us to do in this very large, empty space we were contained in. And then suddenly I realized that we were just part of an experiment of theirs. Then I woke up. This is Undercover Radio, broadcasting on WBCQ, The Planet. I'm Dr. Benway, and I encourage you to send me an email at undercoverradio@mail.com. That's undercoverradio@mail.com. Or through postal mail at Box 293, Merlin, Ontario, Canada, N0P1W0. Send in a correct reception report, and I'd be happy to send you a QSL and a CD of the show. If you'd like more information about Undercover Radio, check out our website at freewebs.com/undercoverradio. That's freewebs.com/undercoverradio.
Even if you cannot hear my voice, I'll be right beside you. Here's an interesting recipe I'd like to tell you about. It's called Hotel Hot Dogs, and I invented it when I was on a press tour in Germany. And usually I would sit in a room all day and give interviews nonstop. This would go on all day and into the night. And by the time I was finished, all the restaurants in town would be closed. So here are the ingredients for Hotel Hot Dogs. Two bratwurst, Oscar Mayer's will also do. Utensils that you'll need include one lamp, a pocket knife, and wire strippers. Now unwrap the bratwurst and place it on the bedside table. Unplug the floor lamp. Then using the pocket knife, cut the lamp cord approximately 3 feet from the plug. With the wire strippers, peel the insulation from the cord, leaving about 10 inches of exposed wire. Then thread the wire through the bratwurst and tie it off at the end. Then just plug it in. Cook until the bratwurst is crispy on the outside, approximately 2 seconds. Make sure the cooking time doesn't exceed 3 seconds, since the meat will explode at very high temperatures. Then just relax and enjoy. Now, this dish is excellent accompanied by a glass of cool hotel tap water. Oh, in the U.S. and other territories where 110 is used, add 2 additional seconds to the cooking time. You all got that, right?
Just relax and enjoy it. This is an experiment in mind formation, controlling, operating your mind and your brain.
Using digital techniques to overload, scramble, confuse, unfocus your mind.
The natural state of the brain is chaos. We're dealing with a complexity of information. The first thing to do is to overwhelm your focused mind, your linear mind, by overloading signals, digital patterns, clusters of photons and electrons, which produce a pleasant state of confused chaos. This is the state of the brain when it is ready to be informed, that is, to be reprogrammed. The human brain contains 100 billion neurons. Each neuron is as powerful as a large computer, and each neuron has around 10,000 connections with other neurons. Within our foreheads, there is a chaos. Inside our brains, there is a galaxy of information, which is incomprehensible to our linear minds. This contrasts and compares perfectly with the chaos without. We're living in a universe which has 100 billion galaxies, each galaxy with star systems, planets, a complexity, again, which to our minds right now is chaotic, incomprehensible. Beautiful. Now, many times we are afraid because we want order. We can't deal with the confusion and the disorder. We want form. We want rules. Yes, throughout human history, there have been people, religious leaders, political leaders, who will give you order. They'll give you rules and commandments. But chaos is basically good. Relax, surf the waves of chaos, and learn how to redesign your own realities. Sit back, flow, open your eyes, turn off your mind, unfocus, and let the waves of chaos roll over your brain. Float, drift, zoom, design, create, new order, your order, your style, from chaos. Chaos. Sim.
This is Undercover Radio, broadcasting on WBCQ, The Planet. Contact us at undercoverradio@mail.com. That's undercoverradio@mail.com. Or through postal mail at Box 293, Merlin, Ontario, Canada, N0P1W0. Send us a valid reception report, and we'd be happy to send you a QSL and a CD of the show.
Tomorrow, I find my way. other side of down, in the inside of I, but we breathe. We breathe. I wanna breathe in an open mind. I wanna swim in the ocean. Wanna take my time for me.
Twisted like knots on the fingers, jewels cleaving skin between breasts.
Los Angeles. it is a beautiful night out there in Los Angeles. You live in Los Angeles, and you are going to Reseda. We are all in some way or another going to Reseda someday to die. And the rating Gone Savage for teenagers with automatic weapons and boundless love. Gone Savage for teenagers who are aesthetically pleasing, in other words, fly. Los Angeles beckons the teenagers to come to her on buses. Los Angeles loves love. It is 5 a.m. and you are listening to Los Angeles. It is 5 a.m. and you are listening to Los Angeles. Going to Los Angeles to build a screenplay about lovers who murder each other. I am going to Los Angeles to see my own name on a screen 5 feet long and luminous. As the radio man says, it is 5 a.m. and the sun has charred the other side of the world and come back to us and painted the smoke over our heads an imperial violet. It is 5 a.m. and you are listening to Los Angeles. It is 5 a.m. and you are listening to Los Angeles. You are listening. 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 To Los Angeles.
Mother, mother, how's the family? I'm just calling to say hello. How's the weather? How's my father? Am I lonely? Heavens, no. Mother, mother, are you listening? Just a phone call to ease your mind. Life is perfect, never better. Distance making the heart grow blind. When you send me off to see the world, hungry, I'm dirty, I'm losing my mind. Everything's fine. I'm freezing, I'm starving, I'm bleeding to death. Everything's fine. Yeah, I'm working, making money. To build a name, I can't feel it around the corner. I could make it any day. My perfect, never better. Still your daughter, still the same. If I tell you what you wanna hear, will it help you to sleep well at night? Are you sure that I'm your perfect dear? Now just cuddle up and sleep tight. I'm hungry, I'm dirty, I'm losing my mind. Everything's fine. I'm freezing, I'm starving, I'm bleeding to death. Everything's fine. I miss you, I love you.
This is Dr. Benway, and you're listening to Undercover Radio. I hope you enjoyed this evening's show. Please do send us an email at undercoverradio@mail.com. That's undercoverradio@mail.com. And let us know what you think of the show. For a valid reception report, we'd be happy to send you a QSL and a CD of the show. You can also contact us by postal mail at Box 293, Merlin, Ontario, Canada, N0P1W0. Or check out our website at freewebs.com/undercoverradio. That's freewebs.com/undercoverradio. Until next time, good night.